As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248 DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. There has been a big court turnaround tonight in that closely watched Texas abortion case. The latest from Len Cannon of KHOU-TV.
The Texas Supreme Court has blocked a Travis County court's ruling that would have allowed a Dallas mother to get an abortion. That's according to the Center for Reproductive Rights, which is representing Kate Cox. Her Houston doctor says her unborn baby is unviable and is putting Cox's life at risk by forcing her to carry it to term.
In Las Vegas, after this week's mass shooting at UNLV that left three faculty members dead.
Our emotions are swinging like a pendulum. It appears sometimes at one moment that people are fine, and then the next moment it feels like they're being knocked down by a tidal wave of grief and pain.
University President Keith Whitfield, UNLV, is scrubbing in-person fall final exams. In the aftermath of an earlier high-profile mass shooting, a Michigan teenager has been sentenced for killing four classmates and wounding seven others. Back in 2021, CBS News correspondent Jennifer Kuiper.
Relatives of students gunned down at Oxford High School and some who survived gave impact statements. Kylie Osage says she thought she heard a balloon pop and fell to the ground.
And I realized what had just happened. I was just shot. I thought I was going to die.
Ethan Crumbly, who pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and terrorism charges, tells the court,
I am a really bad person. I have done terrible things that no one should ever do.
The 17-year-old has been sentenced to life in prison without parole. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Ethan Crumbly's parents await their own criminal trial. Jennifer and James Crumbly have been charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter. They are pleading not guilty. A TV and film star of an earlier era has died, Ryan O'Neill, dead at 82. A look back at his career highlights, CBS's Frank Settapani.
He first gained fame in the 1960s. Starring in the primetime TV soap opera, Peyton Place.
Dr. Rossi?
Yes, I'm Rodney Harrington.
But it was the 1970 tearjerker Love Story that made Ryan O'Neill a movie star. The film earned him an Oscar nomination, and he followed it up with some well-regarded comedies.
On his way to California for campaign fundraisers, President Biden stopped off in Las Vegas, offering some transportation improvement specifics from the big infrastructure bill that he got through Congress.
Long last, we're building the first high-speed rail project in our nation's history, and it started here.
Wall Street finished up the week with Friday gains following a stronger-than-expected report on the U.S. jobs market. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Chance for scattered showers overnight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 35, winds out of the southwest around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, chance for mixed precipitation 40. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha, airing all across the state. Good morning, Rice Lake. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a wonderful, wonderful show coming up for you today. Next hour, every Friday, 11:06, Dr. Michael McCutcheon joins us to fix your life. If you have lifestyle questions, relationship questions, career questions, you can always reach out at 844-967-2789. And then at 11:33, Civic Media's own Pete Schwabe is going to join us. He has the newest show across the Civic Media Network. It's Nightlife with Pete Schwabe.
Okay.
Ooh. He was a stand-up comic. He's a stand-up comic.
From what I understand, yeah. I'm surprised. I don't know him.
We're going to learn more about.
Get to know him.
Getting to know him coming up at 11:33. You can always join us, too. Again, 844-967-2789. We're going to start off with choo-choo money, baby. State and local officials got $500,000 federal grants to look at expanding Amtrak passenger rail from Milwaukee to Chicago, Green Bay, Madison, Eau Claire, and the Twin Cities. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin Wednesday announced the five routes got development grants through the Federal Rail Administration's Corridor ID program. It's a first step towards being able to tap into $66 billion in rail expansion money included in the bipartisan infrastructure bill. So I think this is a great thing.
Fantastic.
Not everybody's a choo-choo fan.
I love taking Amtrak, especially going down to Chicago.
It makes life so easy.
You know, it's so easy. And I mean, you get right into the downtown area. It's an hour and a half from start to finish. I don't have a problem with this. I'd be curious as to what kind of studies they've done as to what the ridership might possibly be going to Milwaukee to Madison.
I think it'll be pretty big. I would love to not have to make that drive to Madison. It's just so boring.
Well, okay.
It is. It's just I don't know what I expect. Along that route, some sparklers or something.
I mean,
don't
in
know.
Fall, it's beautiful.
It is, but it's just kind of meh.
It's nothing but farmland.
Right.
I would do it just in the fact that it would kick me out of that Madison vortex because I get lost in I'm usually pretty good with directions and knowing where I'm going. But for some reason, and I went to school in Madison, you'd think I'd have it down. But I get around that Capitol area and I'm like,
where am I?
What am I doing?
Which way do I turn?
And right now there's so much construction going on in Madison. I understand that is quite a challenge there for the residents.
Well, when do they think this might be? I mean, we got to get it passed and all that kind of stuff first, so we got to get it through.
Well, they're gonna commence these studies, I guess, and then take it to the next step.
No, the money is already there.
The money is there.
Right, but I mean, if they're just getting the studies done now, it's going to be a few years before this thing is even implemented.
Oh, absolutely. Three of the routes would be a new train service out of Milwaukee, again, to Green Bay, Madison, and Eau Claire. The other two would expand the Amtrak's existing Hiawatha schedule between Milwaukee and Chicago, and the Empire Builder between Chicago and the Twin Cities via La Crosse.
But remember, this route does not take you into Madison. It takes you north of Madison a little bit, about 45 minutes north. It doesn't hit.
There's no terminal.
Nope. If you look at the map, because I saw someone post about this a couple weeks ago, they said And this could change. Who knows? They could change it. But it said, you know, Madison's grumbling about it because, I mean, their big thing was high speed rail back in 2010. We had it ready. The money was there.
And it was ready.
$850 billion earmarked for Wisconsin to build high speed rail between our state and Minnesota. And Scott Walker, as promoted on day two, killed it.
Yep.
And because of that, we lost out on nearly $1 trillion in jobs expansion, all this. But now they're doing this. It's not going to be a central.
Then what's the point?
Well, because it's going to take you from Chicago to Minneapolis. It's not just to Madison. It's going to be taking you through three states.
But then you're negating all those students that could take that train and get it into the city. I mean, I just think 45 minutes north of Madison, I think that's dumb.
Well,
I wouldn't disagree with you.
I don't disagree with you either, but do they have,
Well, that's going to need a new terminal.
Yeah, exactly.
And other things. But I would imagine as they are studying this, they will take that in. You would think they would take that into consideration.
Because if you go to Green Bay and Eau Claire, that's a boon for a lot of parents with their kids.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You put them on the train and you don't. Because my brother, he has three girls and they bleed red and white, that family, my brother's family. And I can't tell you how many times he drove to Madison. Back and forth and forth and back, yes, and back and forth. And it would just be so easy. You know, Juliet, Cosette, and Georgia, put them on the train with their suitcase and off you go.
Well, for me, I'm looking forward to it when it happens to go to Minnesota because I don't like driving to Minneapolis. It's not a great drive. It's boring. And
it's long.
I'd rather just take a train. Long. It'll probably add a couple hours onto the ride because this isn't high speed, is it?
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
And again, you're going to be stopping you're going to stop in La Crosse and you're going to stop.
Yeah. Sure.
And so, yeah, it's going to add a little time as opposed to driving. But just think about all the people who, especially young people, Calvin, I would think younger folks would be excited about the opportunity to not have to own a car.
Resident young people.
Resident young people.
Yeah. Well, and in addition, and I'm going to admit this to you, and because we're going to be going into a topic coming up very soon about the liquor industry. But the one thing I loved about Amtrak was when we were taking a girls' weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We would sit on the train and drink wine. And then we'd get off the train and we'd grab a cab and we'd go to our hotel and woohoo! You know? It was trouble-free, you know? I mean, I know, isn't that awful?
It's not. That's part of the reality of it. And I think just the traffic to Green Bay for games.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
Yeah.
To not have all those people on 41.
But does that train go to Green Bay?
Well, they're talking about expanding.
Okay, to Green Bay. Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, the map I saw, if I'm not mistaken, goes up through Milwaukee, heading west up to Minneapolis, essentially. Because the whole thing is Chicago to Minneapolis. But yeah, I mean, we should, honestly, the fact that we don't have we don't have real dedicated train lines and great transit in this state is upsetting. It's sad. And when people complain about things like the hop, which is there.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. Okay. I think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Why?
It doesn't go anywhere.
Well, because it's going to be, though. That was the thing. That was the problem. I spoke to a supervisor about this. When they first unveiled it, they didn't tell people the plan. The plan was to expand. This is pre-COVID. Their plan was to expand it all over the city within 5 to 6 years. So you would be able to. Instead, they're like, here's this hop. And people were saying what you're saying. It takes you to like two places. But now they're starting to expand the lines and people will be able to use it as a method of transportation within the city with more accessibility and more choice. And
I don't even think that they're going to get any ridership, to tell you the truth.
Well, okay. Well,
844-967.
I can't argue with that opinion. So
844-967-2789. Are you pro choo-choo or anti chew? Price from Texas is joining us. Good morning, Price. How you doing?
Oh, fine. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. What do you think about expanding train service in Wisconsin?
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. I was actually in Chicago when Walker killed the high-speed rail and sent all of our awesomely paid-for trains to Nigeria. And I used to take the Hiawatha from Milwaukee to Chicago and vice versa all the time. It was so easy, so fast, close to both downtowns. It was just one of the easiest rides, calm. You sit in a quiet car, you read a book, you look up, oh, you're in Chicago.
Yep.
And this whole thing just to hear for Texas, it is absolutely ridiculous that the only choices we have to get down to Austin or San Antonio or Houston is either driving or having to hop on an airplane. And I've driven it from Dallas down to Houston and San Antonio and Austin. There's nothing there.
Right.
People have complained about, and it's the same thing with Wisconsin. You know, there's big stretches of paralleling the highways where there's nothing there. You could lay track easily and take those cars off the road. Same thing. Well, Green Bay, I'm not sure other than game days, how efficient it would be. But my mom told me that there used to be a train going from the UP to Chicago twice a week.
Wow.
A passenger train. And they got rid of that. So, and just when the cars came, they said, nah, we're not going to do this anymore. So I'm all for it. More trains. Trains mean transit. Transit means jobs. When Walker killed that, anything next to one of those train stations would have been a hub, would have been a retail,
yep,
residential,
yep,
magnet.
Yep.
And that's all I got to say. But you guys have a great weekend. I'll keep listening.
You Thanks well. A lot, Bryce. Have a great day. And by the way, if you see your attorney, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, tell him he's a terrible human being. 844-967-2789. We're going to be looking at expanding railroad lines across Wisconsin. Good thing, bad thing. We'll take your calls and your texts right after this. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Bar for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
All aboard!
I
morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. And if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can leave a comment on the live stream as well. We are talking about the news that we're going to be looking at expanding rail in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a wonderful thing. The five routes that they're looking at out of Milwaukee to Madison, they say there are more than 800,000 people along the I-41 corridor between Fond du Lac and Green Bay, and 160,000 plus residents in Eau Claire. They're estimating the expansion to Waukesha County, Madison, and Green Bay could attract 250,000 new riders within a decade. And by 2050, maybe 1.5 million.
Mm-hmm. I do love the idea that the caller brought up about getting half these cars off the road. You know, I mean, it not only is the congestion there, but then, you know, you negate all that, like all the emissions problems. And, you know, I know that they want us to go all electric, but I got to be honest with you. I can't see me making that leap.
No.
No. So I just think that if you can get on a train and let somebody else do the driving, why would you say no? And it's not that expensive. What is it to get down to Chicago?
$22-25
Yeah, I mean,
one way.
Right.
Yeah, that's a steal. Yeah. You spend more in parking park in Chicago,
exactly,
than you do on a train ticket.
They're going to have a healthy budget though on marketing, because with a state that's not used to having that kind of transportation, you got to get people used to it. Tell them it's okay, it's good, it's fun. Try it. And you got to take those leaps, because we're not a mass transit state.
No, we're not.
No,
I mean,
we're not a mass transit country.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Right.
We really aren't. But again, Calvin, for you and your friends and our resident young peoples.
Tell us about the resident young people.
Speaking on behalf of your entire generation, Calvin, do you think your friends would welcome the opportunity to jump on a train instead of buying a car?
Well, I kind of might not be the best for this perspective, because I do live
He's anti-train.
I'm not anti-train. I think it would be a great idea, and I think people would love it, but I come from a rural area of the state that the train would still probably be a 25-minute, half-hour drive for me.
Just to get to the train?
Just to get to the train.
Yeah.
So I personally wouldn't use it, but I can tell you that if you're in Madison, you want to go to Milwaukee, that drive would be a lot better. It's not a fun drive if you want to go party or have fun or anything like that. So,
well, yeah. And again, I think for younger people now, that cars are so expensive.
Oh, everything is so expensive.
My first car cost me $8,000, and I thought that was a lot of money.
Mine was $3,000.
It was a lot of money. $8,000 was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money. And now you can't get any. Can you get a new car for under $25,000?
I think you can, but I mean,
not a new. Does it get used?
Does it have wheels?
It's got to be small and everything. But like, I mean, I'm looking at getting a new car in either later next year or 2025, and I'm already starting to save my money, and my budget's not large. It's, yeah. I mean, and you think at this point I should be able to buy myself a $30,000 or $35,000. I can't.
It's just choking.
A couple years ago, Liz bought a car a couple of years ago, and it was an Equinox, and it had 40,000 miles on it, and it was 18,000.
Oh my God.
That's pretty reasonable.
I don't know. I bought my car in 2010 with 18,000 miles on it after everything was $18,000 with the loan and everything. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like if I can get a car between 25 and 30 grand, I'll be happy, because I keep my cars for a long time.
Yeah,
so
me
that's
too.
Just, I'm not the type of person who goes four years.
And you know, with you, I have this issue because you're tall.
I'm very tall.
You need something that gives you a little inside room.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I can't go into like a little teeny tiny. Yeah.
In our little Fiat 500, you would be crunched up like a
shit. That's why I love my Honda Insight. Honda Insight. It's small but tall.
844-967-2789. Pro Choo Choo or No Choo.
No Choo.
West from Middleton. Every time I drive from Madison to Milwaukee, I curse Scott Walker under my breath. When we go to Chicago, we drive to Milwaukee and take the Amtrak down.
Yep.
Other states like us, around us, like Illinois and Michigan, have comprehensive statewide train service. It's time we join the 21st century so we don't get left behind.
Yeah. I mean, you got two options for traveling Chicago. You can take the Metra, which is a station right in Kenosha.
Right.
And then you can go, or you can take the Amtrak. And the Amtrak is a little faster because it's Metra is more commuter. It has stops.
Yeah.
But both are incredibly affordable. And, you know, like you were saying, if you go to Chicago for a night, you're going to spend more in parking than you would in Ubers.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. The parking in Chicago is really
ridiculous.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Texter from the 262 listening here on WAUK. I am definitely pro-chew. I love taking the Hiawatha to Chicago. I went to UW-Madison, but I can't remember how to navigate those two-way roads that turn into one-way roads. All roads lead to the Capitol. I would love to take the train into Madison. I would go much more often. And a note for you, Calvin, that is a song, the bumper music that you played. You definitely need to turn up when you're playing Classic Izzy. Just a little side note.
Ozzy.
Ozzy, yes.
We used to do it like now, at this time of year, when we would go and do like our shopping weekends or something like that, because so you grab your bags and you sit down and boom, you're there.
Yeah. It really is a great way to travel. 844-967-2789. Comment on the live stream. Yes, a train connecting everything is so needed. Yes, peace of mind and less drunk driving.
Well, yeah. And I always pick up the stop down by the airport. Because it's so easy to park. Yeah. I mean, there's always plenty of room. Now, see, I'm giving away my secret. I don't want to see any of you there at the airport.
I mean, the Sturtevant station is really nice, too. The only thing I don't like about the Sturtevant station is you got to go up an elevator over because
you have to cross.
You have to cross. But that's nothing. That is nothing. But the Sturtevant's a good stop. We are just a bunch of, you know what's got a great train stop? Sturtevant. You know, but yeah, I mean,
where's your favorite train?
The little bit of mass transit we have, it's enjoyable and I'm glad we have it, and it'll be nice to have some more. And
again, this is not something that's gonna happen tomorrow.
No,
no.
You know, this is gonna take quite some time. Yeah. And depending upon what administration is in power, that's gonna affect whether or not this moves forward. So that's something to keep in mind as well. We are coming up against the news. Stay with us. Drinking rules in Wisconsin have changed.
Drinking rules.
Drinking rules. And wedding barn owners are not happy. That's all coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them.
Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered showers overnight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 35, winds out of the southwest around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, chance for mixed precipitation 40. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha and going out across our beautiful state. Hello, Wausau. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane and Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
We have been talking about Wisconsin's going to get $2.5 million in federal money, part of the bipartisan infrastructure bill. To look at expanding passenger rail in the states. They are going to look at a line from Milwaukee to Green Bay, connecting Milwaukee to Minneapolis through Madison and Eau Claire, a line connecting Eau Claire to St. Paul, a line through La Crosse running to Chicago and St. Paul, and then improving Amtrak's existing line between Milwaukee and Chicago. 844-967-2789. We did get a text on the text line. I've ridden the Amtrak Downeaster twice from Maine to get to Boston's Logan Airport and back. The time is about the same as driving. Parking is cheaper. Seats a bit more comfortable than having to drive myself. But 541 says, if you live near a station, it's beneficial. Otherwise, we are still pretty dependent upon vehicle ownership. Like Calvin mentioned, if you're
right. 35 yeah. minutes away from the station, I guess that's not exactly the best deal.
Yeah.
Our own Civic Media's Mike Clemens is on the line. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Mike.
You put on a lot of miles traveling across our fair state, don't you?
Just pulling out of Lambeau Field and listening to our station in Green Bay. By the way, you guys are doing a great job with this show.
Well, thank you.
And I'm hearing the topic now. Jane, you know me. I'm going to go long here, but there will be a point. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
You ready?
Take it away.
Okay. All right. And there, for many years, he's no longer on the air, there was a far right-wing guy who fought any kind of public transportation talk in Milwaukee and seemed to be a pretty effective. And I always wondered where this guy was getting his numbers from. Here's what I know. If your grandparents and your great-grandparents, when they were coming downtown to Milwaukee to work at the breweries or the other industries, they loved the public transportation. They hopped on you know, North 5th Street. They took the down there, didn't have to worry about cars, didn't have to worry about parking. They ran all day long. And even in the 60s and 70s, you could still see some of those electric buses going through the downtown. And when I was 20, I got a job at the Journal Sentinel newsroom, and I lived on the east side on Downer and Park, and I took the bus every day because it saved me so much more money as a student trying to learn, you know, the news business at the paper. I once saw a documentary that said, you know, those things were so popular in every city. And then about the 1930s and 40s, there was these companies that were buying up all the rail systems or buying them off of cities and say, we'll run them. And they ran them into the ground. And eventually, around 1950, there were congressional hearings. They found out that the people buying them were actually Standard Oil and Firestone Tires. They were trying to put the trolleys out of business so they could sell more cars.
There's a big shocker, Mike.
Well, I mean, I was jaw-dropping. One of my teachers at UWM was Frank Zeidler, the mayor of Milwaukee in the 1950s, who brought you I-94 from downtown Milwaukee out to Waukesha, an interstate under Eisenhower's administration, who helped build County Stadium and drew the Boston Braves to Milwaukee, who won a World Series in 57. But Frank, as the mayor, kept on his home about North and Fifth Street because I became friends with him. You know, he's the guy that they named the Frank Zeidler Park and yep. building out of in downtown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's very, very famous in Milwaukee. He's worshipped there.
So I'm wondering, Mike, are you pro-choo-choo or are you anti-choo?
Well, you'll find out in just a second.
No.
Okay. Frank, there is a time limit, you know.
For the rest of his life, he took the bus downtown or wherever he went to promote public transportation. Now, years later, I have gone to 18 Super Bowls. Do you know what's in every Super Bowl city?
A train.
Yeah.
Even when you're in Phoenix, spread out Phoenix with all those beautiful interstates, and really not too bad of traffic, but millions of people, I'm standing downtown Phoenix by where the Diamondbacks play and where the convention center was for the NFL Super Bowl, and here comes a train. A trolley. Same thing in Minneapolis. They've got a wonderful metro system that takes you in and out of the downtown. And one time when Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, was in Racine County to donate about $250,000 for a new high school football field, the Hiawatha, the Amtrak that runs from Milwaukee to Chicago, stopped by at the very nice Sturtevant station. And he said, wow, look at that. And I said, yeah, it's a great thing for me to hop on from Mount Pleasant down to Chicago. He says, I would love to get one of those from Milwaukee to Green Bay.
So it sounds Mike, it sounds like you're on board with trains then.
Yeah. Mark Murphy has said, I would love to have a train from Green Bay to Milwaukee because to give you worries about safety after fans have been partying
sure.
at a Packers game.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's ridiculous that we don't have the public transportation that we used to have back when Frank Zeidler was the mayor.
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Michael. Be careful on the road because I know you are always on the road. 844-967-2789. Tom from West Allis. Good morning, Tom. What do you think about looking at expanding rail in Wisconsin?
I am 100% for it. I have taken the train to Chicago many times. I've taken it to Manhattan a bunch of times. It is so easy. I've driven out there, too, and, man, I would rather much take the train. But I want to just add to this, too, the hop streetcar here in Milwaukee. Over the summer, there were a couple of times I had to go down to the third ward. One was during Mexican Fiesta, or it's called. And it was just stupid amounts of traffic. I parked over by Cathedral Square Park, and I took the hop right downtown, right through. I missed all that. I walked a few blocks, and there I was. Mm-hmm. And when I left, I just walked back, got in my car, parked for free, and it was great. We really need to expand the hop as well, go past the Fiserv, and all around our heaviest areas, because it would really expand. And to the traffic for the train and everything, if Chicago people could come up, if they could make it go past the stadium, like I heard one proposal, we could, we would have a boom here with that.
Yeah, and that's what they plan on actually doing. They're going to be expanding that hop over the next few years. Like I said earlier, the powers that be did not do a good job of getting that point across to the people when it first was proposed, passed, and implemented.
The Republicans all hate it.
Oh yeah,
you know, and that's another big problem. I do understand why they are so anti anything to build up this city, to build up this state, because no, we've got to put a kibosh. No one's going to ride the train. I remember Belling, back when they were going to do Milwaukee Madison, he was saying that for the cost that it's going to take to do that, we could buy almost everybody a brand new Jaguar.
Oh, jeez.
That's not how math works.
That's really funny, Tom. And I think the other thing we have to keep in mind as well is like Mike Clemens pointed out, automakers don't want us riding trains, and neither do the road builders and the lobbying groups for all these construction companies in Wisconsin. They don't want us riding trains either.
And the politicians who are in the pockets of those groups.
Exactly. They don't want us riding on trains either.
But, yeah.
I don't know that. I mean...
No, it's true. It's very true, because I've been in meetings. I've gotten the notes. The lobbies, their biggest fear is that people aren't going to be driving on those roads. Those roads they spend billions
in. Keep them driving. Keep them in cars.
To expand the roads. It's terrible because, like, people are going to still buy cars. You're going to still buy a car. I'm still going to buy a car.
I'll probably still buy a car.
Calvin, even though he's a resident young person, he'll buy a car. So, yeah, I mean, it just sucks. That's
part of our culture, though. Yeah. You know, that's ingrained in us. I mean, that's why, you know, when you go over to Europe and everybody's walking, they don't need a car. But that's who we are.
Absolutely.
But again, I think for younger generations, as this stuff becomes available, it's going to become more part of the norm.
Yeah.
We just don't have that many options right now. Mm-hmm. So you have to buy a car.
Right. Right.
And for there are people who cannot afford cars.
Correct. Correct.
Well, no, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, we got to do something about that, too. We got to get those prices down. I know it's not probably going to happen, but yet, you know, we have to start, you know, pulling the plug on some of this stuff.
It will be interesting. Again, this is going to be a very long process. And if we do not have an administration in the governor's office that's supportive of this, then it's probably just going to get killed.
What they have to do is they have to start construction. Once they start construction...
Then you're committed?
You're committed.
All right. We're going to talk real quickly about another thing that Governor Evers signed this week, a massive overhaul of Wisconsin's alcohol regulations.
Yes. So, it's a multi-tiered kind of a thing.
Yes.
And it's, you know, some people are the expanding of the hours, especially when the RNC is here, like wineries, they want the wineries to be able to stay open as long as the bars.
Right.
That's part of it.
Right.
And when the RNC comes, you know, maybe expand it to 4 a.m. for the night owls. Then you've got the retail possibilities of, instead of breweries just selling their own stuff, they can bring stuff in from another brewery.
In another state.
Right. Exactly. The wedding venue thing, I have not been to a wedding at a barn, so I'm not exactly sure. Do you guys? I don't even know what's the regulations right now with the wedding barn situation when it comes to liquor.
I believe people can bring their own.
They have to bring their own.
They have to bring their own, is my understanding.
Well, if it's just a barn, if it's a barn operating as an event space, they can get a liquor license. I know people who own venues, and I've been to a wedding at a barn. and there was hired bar service. They didn't have, so I'm guessing that what they had to get was like a one day only caterer's license.
Okay.
But if you were an event, if you were an event venue, that's hard to say, event venue, I believe you can, you at this point still can obtain a regular liquor license.
Yeah, it says here it requires them to get a new type of license if they plan on serving liquor. Yeah.
And it's very restrictive as well because it limits the days the bars can be rented or leased out.
Right.
It's pretty narrow. I mean, they have two ways to go. They can get a liquor license or they can get this special permit.
Yeah.
But if you get this special permit, you're only allowed to have one event a month and six maximum for the year.
It just seems prohibitive and just arbitrary.
Yeah.
Is there that much competition among wedding venues that now we have to kill the wedding barns?
I mean, honestly, the venues are everywhere. But it's like, if we're not imposing these kind of restrictions on bars, why are we imposing them on? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like,
it's such an outlier.
Right.
Right. It's just such an outlier. Like, why? I would, if I was a wedding barn owner, I would. Why are you picking on me?
Yeah.
My big problem with this whole thing is the hours. I mean,
being open until 4 a.m.?
I don't see any reason why we need more hours to drink. We seem to be able to cram. Listen, I worked St. Paddy's Day down at, you know, Hooligans many, many years in a row. And between 6 and 8 in the morning, and when they open those doors, you'd be amazed how much liquor flowed through people between 6 and 8 in the morning. They were just pounding stuff. So why do we need to add more hours? I don't want to pick on the wineries. If they want to have expand until when the bars close, that's
right.
Fine.
That seems fair.
But exactly.
I mean, to me, it just seems like they're trying to see the RNC as a special event like they would. Because
New Year's
and St. Paddy's Day, I believe bars are open, can be open for 24 hours. You can get special licenses. So if it's all the time, I don't think we need to be a 4 a.m. city. But if it's for the RNC, I understand for those 3 or 4 days because they want to make a little more money because they're going to come in, they're going to party, and they're going to spend a lot of money. But no, if it's for like every day, I don't think that's necessary.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in on this,
844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stay close. We'll be right back across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've been there, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
I've seen your boat there.
I've been to Margaritaville a few times.
All right. Well, that's good.
Stumble my way back.
Okay. Well, we just want to make sure you can keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys, I got it.
All right. Well, it's 5 o'clock. Let's go somewhere.
I'm ready. Crank it up.
Let's get out of here.
I'm gone.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, and Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always check in too at 844-967-2789. Want to remind you to download the wonderful, fabulous, easy-to-use Civic Media app.
For free.
For free, absolutely. And we actually got an email that I found this morning from Thomas, and he said, I have been using the Civic Media app to listen to local Wisconsin radio stations across the state. I love it.
Oh, nice.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's so, like when I used to work in government and someone would send you a letter and be like, you guys are doing a great job. You're like, let's go to their house and bring them a snack. It's so nice.
And what's great about the app, too, is that you can call and text directly.
Yes.
From the app. So
that's fantastic.
That's pretty slick, too.
Yep.
We did want to remember John Lennon on this date in 1980 when he was tragically murdered in front of the Dakota in Manhattan. He was only 40 years old.
Yeah, he was real young. He was very young.
That's just so sad.
He was my dad's age. Like that, they had the same, they were born within a couple months of each other. And
wow.
Yeah, just the idea of like, whoa.
It was almost like time stood still. Everybody was just, it was like stunned. When JFK was shot. Mm-hmm. It was like, what in the heck is happening here? And apparently, Mark David Chapman tried on the 6th, he tried on the 7th, and he finally got his opportunity on the 8th. So this dude was committed.
Yeah.
And I read you off the air when we were here, when he was in front of the parole board and being denied for the 12th time, he said, I knew what I was doing. I knew it was wrong, I knew it was evil, but I wanted the fame so badly that I was willing to go out and kill someone. I mean, he was, you know, a little...
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. But I mean, it was... It's... I was in college.
So I was in broadcasting school.
Yeah, I was in college.
I was too.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Oh, shut up.
Calvin wasn't even Calvin wasn't even a glimmer in his parents' eye at that point.
Calvin, were your parents even married in 1980?
No.
Okay.
No, that's hilarious.
They were probably like 12.
Yeah.
My dad would have been 17 and my mom was 10.
Oh, great. Now I know I can be Calvin's grandma. But you know what? I took Liz to the Dakota because I thought she's my classic rocker to begin with. And she loves the Beatles. And we always used to take a trip to New York. And I thought this is something that she probably would really like to see. And we were standing outside and they have like these stations outside the Dakota where the guards like stand. It's almost very... London-esque, if you will.
Interesting.
And so we were kind of walking around. We had come over from Strawberry Field, and we were kind of walking around, and this gentleman who was probably my age now came out, and he said, I was working when that happened.
Oh, my.
He says, I was here when that happened. And he said, I saw Mark David Chapman, you know, getting their autographs and then pulling the gun. And he said, it was just the most surreal thing that I have ever witnessed in my entire life. You know, and Lennon, it was immediate. Like, he died almost instantaneously.
Almost instantly, yep.
I would encourage anyone, if you do get to Manhattan, it's just something, pay homage. Because he was such an icon and so talented.
And I think he was kind.
Yes.
I think he was a kind human
That's
being.
That's part of the problem is what happened to him.
Yes.
Because Mark David Chapman came running up to him, Mr. Lennon.
Will you sign this for me?
Right. And Lennon turned around and he was shot before. There were photographers there and Mark David Chapman turned to one of the photographers and allegedly said, I'm waiting to get Yoko's autograph too. And then he shot Lennon. No, I mean, it was... I know you were two.
I was two.
I was at work. I remember this very distinctly because I was going to broadcasting school during the day, and then I was a data entry operator for Penny's at night from like 6 until midnight. It was a glamour job. I was very fast. I was a very fast typist. But I do remember with such clarity that a girlfriend called me at work, which was very unusual. And she's in tears and she's sobbing and she's, John Lennon is dead. What?
Yeah.
John Lennon is dead. And as you said, Carol, there was this, it was stunning.
Yeah.
It was, this can't be. How could this happen?
And when you, what's so interesting is the impact that he made and the impression that he made on people. It really does continue. If you go to Strawberry Field across the street,
which I've been to and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But you, as you well know, then you've got people that are sitting around, they're meditating, they're playing their guitar, they're singing Lennon songs, they're dropping flowers. So, I mean, it just, and it's like also what happened with Lady Di. You know, when Princess Di died, you know, people were just like, what? What? It just doesn't compute.
And it doesn't seem real.
Right.
It doesn't seem real.
Is it like almost throws down a thing of like, The world before Kennedy was shot and the world after Kennedy was shot, the way we look at things before. I mean, rock stars didn't get, like, rock stars died. They usually died in plane crashes. They died of drug overdoses.
Right.
But this was like a horrible, violent crime. And it changes the culture's perspective on things because now it's something that can happen. It's a massive part of our consciousness.
Well, and look at what kind of security. I mean, he had no security around him whatsoever. And look at the kind of security that is following these. Look what happened with Taylor Swift. She was surrounded by security.
Yeah.
And because it's just.
They have to be. It's insurance problems. It's like those individuals are insured.
Sure.
Yeah. So I texted my mom. I'm waiting to hear back from her. I texted my mom just to see where were you when you found out when Lennon was shot, because that's one of those.
Markers.
Things,
those, it's a marker.
You know? Yeah, I just...
Remembering John Lennon.
Yeah.
43 years ago.
Yeah.
Would have been 83.
Wow. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Dr. Michael McCutcheon will be here to fix your life. If you have relationship questions, career questions, you can always text him in at 844-967-2789. 1133, Civic Media's Pete Schwabba going to join us to talk about his new show, Nightlife with Pete Schwabba, that you can hear across the network Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. News is next. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all. The gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up. That's it. The theme.